The next module focused on clinical research and practice in the first-line treatment of ER-positive, HER2-negative metastatic disease, specifically in the common situation of postmenopausal patients, and we presented a number of variations of relevant clinical scenarios. While all six faculty routinely used CDKIs in a 65-year-old patient in each scenario we asked about, the survey respondents showed more variation, with only about two-thirds using it in a newly diagnosed patient who is endocrine naive, but more than 85% using a CDKI in a patient progressing on adjuvant endocrine therapy, with similar high rates for patients who had completed prior endocrine therapy. Of further interest, in the endocrine-naive situation, all six of the faculty would use an AI in a CDK inhibitor, but on the survey, 30% of the respondents would use fulvestrant or tamoxifen. For patients relapsing on an AI, all the faculty routinely use fulvestrant and a CDKI, but 30% of the survey respondents would use a second AI and a CDKI. Another interesting observation was the relatively minimal impact of age on the use of CDKIs, and while 86% of respondents would use a CDKI for a 65-year-old patient relapsing on an AI, this number only slightly decreased in patients up to age 80, where 78% would still use a CDKI, and five of the six faculty would also at that age. Before more discussion about the clinical issues in this situation, Dr. Dendelori reviewed the key research data sets that shape current clinical practice.
So there are three CDK4/6 inhibitors approved, abemaciclib, palbociclib, and ribociclib. The trials that use abemaciclib are the MONARCH trials. The trials that use palbociclib are the PALOMA trials, and the MONA LISA trials use ribociclib. So, as a summary, the CDK4/6 inhibitors in the first-line postmenopausal setting, whether it was PALOMA-2, MONALEESA-2, MONARCH-3, all had impressive response rates ranging from 45% to 60%, and progression-free survival was 25 months with ribociclib, 28 months with palbociclib, and for abemaciclib, it has not yet been reached. So what we're seeing is a consistent progression-free survival benefit in all of the trials that added a CDK4/6 inhibitor to an endocrine therapy backbone, whether it was letrozole or anastrozole. So the toxicity of these drugs, which we'll go into more detail, showed that neutropenia is a class effect, much more significant with the ribociclib and the palbociclib than with the abemaciclib, and 1% or less neutropenic fever is seen with these drugs. About 30 to 40% of patients do get dose reduced because of the neutropenia. And with the abemaciclib, the significant side effect is diarrhea. And diarrhea is not noted with the palbociclib as in terms of grade 3, nor is it with the ribociclib in terms of grade 3-4 diarrhea. The characteristics of the diarrhea that we see with abemaciclib are that it's experienced early in the treatment, the median onset is about a week, it resolves quickly, and we can manage it with conventional antidiarrheal doses or dose reduction. And the notable toxicity that is unique to ribociclib is that it can cause a prolonged QTC and therefore requires EKG monitoring for these patients, particularly the first 2 months. So in summary, we have data with palbociclib, ribociclib, and abemaciclib frontline. We have it with second and later lines. We have data in a chemo pretreated population in later lines. And abemaciclib is a unique one that has some single agent activity. There are data with palbociclib, ribociclib, and abemaciclib with fulvestrant, as well as aromatase inhibitors. And the main toxicity with the palbociclib and ribociclib is neutropenia. The unique toxicity to ribociclib is the EKG monitoring. And with the abemaciclib, neutropenia is less common, but the GI toxicity, particularly diarrhea, is something that we need to monitor.